This is Sheila Hummel and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Prince Bishop's Hospital Radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Hi there, it's Sheila Hummel here once more with New Day Dawning. You won't regret tuning in as we've got some great songs for you on today's programme and some reflections on a Bible reading, just to get you thinking. Let's begin with a hymn that's probably been the number one favourite for many people for many years. A beautiful song of praise, How Great Thou Art. I'm surprised I haven't played this one yet on my programme, so here it is with a congregational choir led by Aled Jones.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sing to my soul, my Saviour God, to me, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing to my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art.
In our reading today, we'll find that Jesus and his disciples have wandered way up north to the vicinity of Caesarea Philippi, which lay at the foot of Mount Hermon. The area itself would have been very fertile as water flowed in torrents over the rocks. According to Josephus, a famous historian of the times, this place was the chief source of the River Jordan. This was an area where the heathen god Baal was once worshipped, and also later a Greek god called Pan. You can still visit the cave there dedicated to him and see niches in the rock face outside where statues of other gods linked with Pan once stood. Also, there was an exquisite white marble temple there to honour and give praise to Caesar. It was to this place that Jesus brought his disciples, right into the company of the gods and goddesses of men. Here, outside of Galilee, Jesus knew he could find a quiet place where he could continue his teaching and at the same time escape the critics who were hounding him about the law. Here's a beautiful Celtic version of Oh for a Closer Walk with God with Margaret Becker, Joanna Hogg and Moya Brennan from Ireland.
Oh for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light that shines upon the road leading to the land. Oh,
One verse missing from this song here, from the original by William Cowper, is this: "The dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee." What do you think our modern equivalent of idols would be? Any ideas? Many people have set God to one side these days and given their whole focus and attention to something or someone else. So I suppose it's this that we'd be classed as an idol today. Let's listen to the first part of our Bible reading from Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 27. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." So in this area where all these idols were looking down on them, Jesus has two important questions for his disciples at a time when his death is just a few months away.
My Jesus, my Saviour.
My Jesus, my Saviour, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath
That was My Jesus, My Saviour, written by Darlene Zeck. So Jesus asks them, "Who do men say that I am?" In effect, he's saying, "What's the word on the streets? What are they saying about me?" They report that the people they had spoken to saw Jesus as a great prophet, the likes of John the Baptist or Elijah. Then Jesus challenges them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter, as usual, jumps in before anyone else has a chance to respond with the words, "You are the Messiah." Now in Matthew's Gospel, Peter actually says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." When someone is searching for the correct answer on a TV quiz show, the audience is usually right behind that contestant, willing them on to get the right answer. And when he does hit the jackpot, they go mad. The ticker tape falls, lights flash. We know that Peter gets the answer right because Jesus doesn't say, "My goodness, what gave you such an idea? Don't say such things." No, Jesus tells him that God himself has revealed the answer through him. How big a boost is that to Peter? Jesus goes on to tell him that the church of God would be built on him, and I suppose on faith like his in the future. Up until this point, Jesus has not admitted to being God's Messiah. Now he tells them to keep this information to themselves. Incidentally, who do we say Jesus is? Is it time yet to ask ourselves that question? Matt Redman already has his answer in his next song. He has this to say: "He's King of My Soul." Here it is from his brand new album, Unbroken Praise.
King of my heart, King of my soul, you are the one that I live for. No other name, no other throne, it's you alone. King of my heart, King of my soul, I'll make a joyful surrender. No other name, no other throne, it's you alone. So let my life be undivided, God, King of my soul.
At this point, Jesus begins to teach them that suffering and death are just around the corner for him. So too his rising from the dead. He's trying to prepare them for what is to come. But this isn't what Peter, or the others for that matter, signed up for. And Peter protests and tries to help Jesus see sense. But now Jesus hears only the voice of the devil through Peter, taunting him, persuading him that death is surely not the best way forward. There are echoes here of the serpent saying to Eve, "Surely not, you won't die, you'll be like gods." Let's listen to the second part of the gospel now. It continues like this. Then he called the crowd to him along with all of his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." So then, if we want to become disciples of Jesus, then this is the deal. We must take up the cross and follow him. We're called to follow Jesus' example, to walk a similar road of self-denial and even sacrifice, to face many challenges, even great danger, as many Christians are all around the world at this very moment. Jesus doesn't call his followers to a life of comfort and ease. We were never meant to sign up for respectability, wealth and power. He calls his followers to walk the hard and difficult road, that his life might be lived through us, so that others might find him too. But in return, he has promised to be with us forever, and that we will know his deep, deep peace in our lives, and also his abundant life. Here is the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir singing, "Take Up Your Cross." I found a lovely song the other day that reads like a poem. I want to read it out to you before you hear it sung, because it somehow reminds me of Jesus asking, "Who am I in the hearts of the people?" This song asks, "Who am I in the heart of God? Who am I that he calls me to follow and know him?" It says this, "Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever-wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I'm a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapour in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. And you've told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours." Here is "Who Am I," written by Mark Hall from Casting Crowns.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever-wandering heart? not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me when I'm falling.
God loves each one of us, but he loves us too much to leave us where we are. When we look at ourselves in the mirror, we may not like what we see, but when Jesus looks at us in the same mirror, he sees a child that he loves, who is so full of God-given potential. He calls us to travel with him, but are we ready for such a journey? Perhaps you want to pray this prayer with me this morning, if you feel you can. Lord, I hear that you love me, and I'm ready to follow wherever you lead. I'm just beginning to realize all that that entails, and it is my heart's desire to know you, to grow closer to you, and to journey with you for the rest of my life. Show me the way. I'm yours. Amen. I'm closing our program today with a prayer called The Blessing, sung online by members of over 65 churches throughout the UK. It's a beautiful arrangement, which was sung as a blessing over our land last year during the COVID crisis. I hope it blesses you as you listen. And so may God bless you wherever you are and whatever you're doing today. Take care, won't you? It's goodbye from me, Sheila Hamill, and from my technical assistant, Andrew Ridgwick.
Bye for now.
Bye for now.
Lord bless you and keep you.
Make his face shine upon you
and be gracious to you.
The Lord turn his face toward you
and give you peace.
Oh, amen. Amen. Amen.
Manna rained down from heaven. This isn't second guessing. We know that we are protected. May the peace that surpasses all understanding be our message. Grace and favors in your nature, in your essence.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations,
and your family, and your children,
and the children, and the children. May his favor be upon you. And your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you,
and a thousand generations.
And your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor.